first brought me to you. And if I sing, let me sing for the joy that is born in me, these songs. And if I weep, let it be as a man who is longing for his home. And there's more that dances on the prairies than the wind, and more that pulses in the ocean than the tide. There's a love that is fiercer than the love between friends, more gentle than a mother's when a baby's at her side. And there's a loyalty that's deeper than mere sentiments, and the music higher than the songs that I...
May God bless you richly in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I welcome you to our presentation of Follow His Sandals. As this is a Christian radio station, perhaps it goes without saying whose sandals we are endeavoring to follow more closely, but that would be those of our loving Lord Jesus Christ. As I have often said, the last perfect guy blew out of here almost 2,000 years ago. This show is about our working together in the Bible to help each of us more closely follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get started. Well, God bless you all richly, and welcome to this inaugural presentation of Follow His Sandals. Again, our goal is to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sandals. You probably got that already, as this is a Christian radio station, but just to be sure. Now, before we get started, a question might ask, why do we want to follow Jesus? And I think this song says it all, from Amy Grant.
But you gave me time when no one gave me time of day. You looked deep inside while the rest of the world looked away. You smiled at me when there were just frowns everywhere. Touched my heart and you touched my soul and help me start all over again. And that's why I love you, Jesus. That's why I'll always care, 'cause you gave me love when nobody gave me a prayer. Us love when nobody gives us a prayer.
Isn't that beautiful? So why do we follow Jesus? Because of all he's done for us. He went first, as God did. And the reason this song means so much to me is because of all that Jesus has done for all of us who follow him. Now, if you're listening to this and you haven't already decided to follow Jesus, please feel free to call our WCNO number at 772-221-1100, and we'll try to help you get to a church, a Bible-believing church in your area. So when it comes to following Jesus, where do we begin? Perhaps this command from Jesus, right before he ascended to the right hand of God, would give us some insight. It's Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Now, perhaps before we go on, perhaps it's obvious, but we will be using the Bible as our textbook. It is the only authoritative source of information about our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, there are many books, and they're wonderful, I'm sure. But if you want the absolute authoritative truth about Jesus Christ, the best source is the Bible. And that's one of our goals with this program, is to get better at and more comfortable with reading the Bible on our own for our own spiritual enrichment. The Bible is called the Word of God, or God's Word, because he authored it. Men wrote it down, but God told them what to write. A great verse on this is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you've got a Bible. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now look at this first phrase. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Those words are all just two words in Greek. Well, actually one, and I think it's connected. It's the word theopneustos. And what it means literally is God breathed, God inspired. This Bible is God's word because it's what he once said. And it's interesting. It says this Bible, this Scripture, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We want to be instructed in righteousness if we want to follow Jesus. What a perfect source. Now, verse 17 is very interesting also. "That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And perhaps this verse is where some of the trouble has come in with the Bible. People read that phrase, "man of God," and they think, oh, it must be just for ministers. Only ministers read the Bible. But that's not what that means. Man of God is someone who stands for God. Could be clergy, obviously, but just it's believers like ourselves, just people who love God and love our Lord Jesus. That's what the Bible was written for. And God authored it for you. He authored it for you. He authored it to share his heart with you. And that's exactly what God wants to do. Now, I support, you know, many churches. I go to churches. I love to go. I don't go there to necessarily to teach or anything. I more just go to support them, to love them, to bless them. And I enjoy that. But one of the reasons I do is just to be around great believers who love the Lord. But in many of these churches I go to, they put verses up on screens. The verse that the pastor's going to talk about, it's up on a screen. And that's fine, except that if we want to be great disciples, we have to learn to read God's word ourselves. We have to learn it, God's word ourselves. Pastor's job is to help, obviously, but the more we read God's word for ourselves, the better instructed we're going to be in righteousness, like the reason it was written. Now, a great verse aligned with this also is in the Gospel of John. This is what Jesus Christ had to say about it. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8, verse 31, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.'" Yeah, see, abiding in the word of Jesus Christ, the word of God. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." True freedom comes in Christ, and it comes from knowing his word. And that's what we want to do. We want to get to the point where we're using God's word for our own growth, our own edification. Now, most of the time we're here in this program, we'll be using a New King James Version of the Bible, basically for a couple of reasons. One is, it's similar to the original King James Version of the Bible, just with some updated language, and we'll look at that a little bit later. But the other thing is, it's fairly common and easy to get. Now, obviously, there are many good English versions, and for our purposes, they would all probably be just fine. But for context, we'll be using the New King James Version, predominantly with other texts brought in at times for clarity. Now, I reminded when I was a boy, we had the most ornate, gorgeous King James Version of the Bible. It was fancy. It was had gold tinge on it and everything. The only downside was that it weighed about 30 pounds. So if you put it on your lap to read, it would crush your thighs. Kind of counterproductive. So as nice as it was, and it was beautifully ornate, the problem was it wasn't easy to read. Thankfully, now we have much more versions that are easy to read because they're a little smaller and clear. And of course, now they've read it with what's called comfort print, which is bigger print for those of us who've got a few years under our belt. It's easier to read now because we can read it. Now, back in one more verse I want to look at before we move on, and that's in Colossians chapter 3. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Now, this is a church epistle, and we'll talk more about these different kinds of sections of the Bible, but there are epistles in the Bible that were written by revelation from God through Jesus to Christian believers after the ascension of Jesus Christ and after the day of Pentecost. So when you read those church epistles, and Colossians is one of them, you can see what's written to Christians, not just people sometime, not just the Old Testament, but to us, directly to us. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." It doesn't say, "Let the word of Christ dwell in pastors richly." Of course, they want it to be that way anyway, but it's for all of us. We want the word of Christ to dwell in all of us richly, in all wisdom. And look at this, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Yeah, I mean, God's word is for you. He authored it for you. And he wants that word to dwell in us richly. And we'll be looking more of it, and we'll be reading it. Now, a couple of interesting verses along those lines. Why would God want that? God wants us to know him, and he communicated his heart through his word, which makes sense, right? Now, I thought about my lovely wife, Kara. Now, Kara is drop-dead gorgeous, always has been, probably always will be. And if you don't believe in God, just you just realize that I got to marry her, so you know there has to be a God, right? But when I met Kara, of course, again, she's drop-dead gorgeous, but I didn't know her at all. You know, what's she like for real? Now, the more we talked, the more she spoke words to me, the more I saw her beautiful heart for God and for Jesus and her love for God and how she wanted to worship God in Jesus. And it was even more beautiful than she's on the outside. I tell her all the time, she's actually more beautiful on the inside than she even is on the outside. And that's pretty incredible. But you get to know somebody by their words, don't you? Well, God's the same way. And God authored his word, the Bible, for us to know his heart for us. And we're going to talk a lot more about this going on as this program goes on. But understand that the Bible, it's God's word. It's not some guy's idea, some guy's interpretation, but it's God's heart to you. Now, in the book of Psalms, there's a great chapter. It's Psalm 119, and a lot of it's about the word of God, but there are a couple of very interesting verses. Verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word is a light to our path, a lamp to our feet. Now, I thought about this. Let's say you're in the woods at night and there's no moon, no stars. If you're just going to lie down and fall asleep, do you need a light? Do you need a lamp? No. You only need a lamp in the forest at night if it's dark out and if you need to go somewhere. Well, that's how life is. Life is like a journey. And on that journey, you know what we need? We need a lamp to our feet. What's the right direction to go? Over here. Where should I not go? Over there. See, and God's word can be that light for us. Here's another great thing it says. "The entrance of your words," meaning God's words, "gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Yes, God's word is the answers about everything in life. And there's more verses we're going to look at probably next time, next week. But there's a lot of great reasons why we should read God's word. And the key is to get reading it for ourselves. The pastors can preach and they do a marvelous job, obviously. But that's Sunday morning. What about Monday? What about Tuesday? If we want to hear God's words on those days, we open the Bible up and we read it ourselves. That's the goal. And one of the great things God did is, if you think about just how loving God is, he gave us his word so we could know his heart. And what a great way that is. Now, back to one of those final commands we talked about of our Lord Jesus. Out of the way a little bit there. We're back. One of the final commands of the Lord Jesus, and it's a sterling example of why he used the New King James rather than the original KJV. Verse 19 in the New King James Version begins, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." However, in the original King James Version, this phrase is, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now it's similar, but it omits the concept of making disciples, disciplined followers, rather than simply teaching them. You see, God's will wasn't just that we'd all sit and hear a teaching. God's will is that we'd be discipled. We would learn how to take that word and do something with it. It's in the book of James, it says, don't be just hearers of the word, but hearers and doers of the word. That's the goal. The goal is for us to have God's word ingrained in our soul so that we can do what he needs us to do. We can have that light to our path. That's what he wants us to be. Once a teacher teaches, he or she can be finished. But to make a disciple includes not just teaching, but also individual work and training, prayer, to help someone grow to the point of being a true disciple. And maybe the idea, too, is what exactly is a disciple? Well, a disciple is a disciplined follower. It's not just somebody that, you know, hangs out once in a while, maybe shows up at a meeting every now and then. But if you look at the disciples in the Bible, they followed Jesus, but they followed him intently. They followed him engaged with him. And God was able to do great things for them because they were engaged with our Lord Jesus. Now, as we go along with this show, we'll get more into discipling others. But first, we want to focus on discipling the one person over whom we have the most control. And that would be ourselves, right? If Jesus wants us to make disciples of all nations, well, that would also include us also, so we can begin to follow Jesus' command by making ourselves the best disciples we can possibly be. That is, following his sandals as closely as possible, hence the name, right? Now, a great way of doing that is about studying God's word, the Bible, and we'll talk again more about that in weeks to come. But there are so many great verses about why we should read the Bible. I just thought off the top of my head, one of the great ones is that when you read the Bible, you see how God did so many amazingly impossible things to bless his people. Lazarus was a man in Jesus' time, a friend of Jesus. He was dead for 4 days, and Jesus commanded him to be raised from the dead, and he got right up. Now, you read something like that, it helps our trust and our faith in being healed, because if Jesus can do that for Lazarus, then God can do it for us as well. See, and that's a great key to reading God's word. It reminds us that God is a God of the impossible. God can do things for us that the world cannot do. I can't see how this is going to happen. Okay, fine. You don't have to see, because God knows. God is a God of the impossible. And we'll look at some of those records next week, possibly, of things God did to take care of his people. But for today, the point I want to make is to be a good disciples of our Lord Jesus. What we want to do is work on ourselves. And how we do that to start is that we read God's word ourselves. And let me just make it a little easier for you here. If you start your Bible in Genesis, it's very interesting. It's a good way to do it. The Old Testament is very interesting. But I would recommend instead, perhaps, start reading the four Gospels. That would be the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John. And then read the book of Acts, which is right after the four Gospels. The book of Acts is the first book, historical book, about the Christian church. It was brand new. It was the first time it started. It began on the day of Pentecost. And it was the Christian church's first days, first years. And you can see a lot of great heart in that section. You also find in the book of Acts, there was a man named Saul. Saul gets converted to Christianity, and we know him now as Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he wrote, as I talked about earlier, those church epistles. Those are written to Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians. They're epistles that were written to church believers. They were written to Christians. So those Christians were going through the same kinds of things we go through, same kind of challenges. And Paul exhorts them to do different things. And because he does, it helps all of us be better. And we can learn from that. And in the weeks ahead, we'll be looking at those a lot, especially when we talk about discipling people. It's a great way to look at it. But if you want to just start reading those books, start there. Start with the four Gospels, the book of Acts, and the church epistles. And that will give you a great idea. As our time goes on and weeks ahead, we'll be looking more detail about that because there's some other great stuff too. But what's important is to understand, you know, to whom is it addressed? People say, well, the whole Bible is written to you. Well, actually, no. Thankfully, it's not, because if it was, we'd still have to sacrifice lambs. That wouldn't be very good. right? And after my children were born, after you have a son, the Old Testament law was you had to kill a pigeon or some silly thing, you know? Well, thankfully, we don't have to do that anymore. So there are parts written directly to you, and that is the church epistle. So have fun with that. If you need any questions with that, feel free to reach out to me. My email is homebible220@yahoo.com, and we'll get more than happy to help you with that. But that's a good way to start, and we'll do more as the weeks ahead. Now, again, going back to make disciples of all nations, what we want to do, we want us to start with ourselves. So where do we begin? Well, I suggest we take a hint from none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was once asked about the greatest commandment in the Bible. What is it? What's the greatest thing? What's the most important to keep in God's eyes? And that record is in the Bible, is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. And again, if you want to follow along with me as we go on, please feel free to do that. I encourage that if you can. I try not to slow down too much to do it, but if you can keep with it. Of course, nowadays, the kids use their phones now. When I was teaching the Bible as a young man, you'd say, turn to Matthew, and you'd hear the pages of the Bible rustling. Now you hear clicking on the phones. So I guess I'm dating myself here. But Matthew chapter 22, we're going to start in verse 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, interestingly, there's no mention here of Jesus pondering it. What's the great commandment? Let's see. That thing with the sheep is pretty cool. No, what about the, let's see, the pigeons is a good one? No, he doesn't debate what it is. He knows instantly what the first and great commandment is, and it's to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And as we start and follow his sandals, that's where we're going to start. How do we love God? What does that even mean to love God? Some people say, oh, I love God, you know? But honestly, in our American culture here, we sometimes use the word love to mean like very much. I like very much. Great example for us that grew up in Boston. We love the Red Sox, right? We love the Patriots. We love the Celtics. We love the Bruins. We love ice cream. We love pizza. We love chocolate. But that's not love as biblically used. And we'll look more at that in the next time. But loving God is to do what he wants done. What does God want done? That's what we want to focus on, whatever that is. And we'll talk more about that. Now, interestingly, unbeknownst to anybody, on that day when Jesus was taught this, there was actually a two-for-one sale on great commandments. So Jesus is going to add in the second one for free. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 38 again says, this is the first and great commandment. Verse 39 says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. See, Jesus answered the other question too, loving your neighbor. And I've actually authored a book. It's called Loving Your Neighbor, A Practical Guide to Keeping the Second Great Commandment. It's available on Amazon. It's available on barnesandnoble.com and on iTunes, and uses my pen name, which is Reverend Dave Boston. And we'll talk more about loving your neighbor, but first we want to talk about loving God. How does that look? What does that mean? And a great place to start with that is in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8, Jesus Christ so often just had such great gems of information to help us, and this is a great example of it. Of course, there are a lot of times you'll see when you read about Jesus Christ, you'll see that there were a lot of people at the time busting his chops and harassing him and stuff. And that was happening here in John chapter 8. But you get all the way down to verse 28. Jesus said, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. So what God wanted spoken, Jesus Christ spoke, didn't he, right? And then verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Jesus Christ always did the things that please God. Well, that's exactly right. If you're going to love God, you want to do what he wants, what he needs done, right? And that's what Jesus did. God wanted something done, Jesus did it. God wanted something spoken, Jesus spoke it. And that's what kind of a very quick definition of what it means to love God. You know, we want to, not what Dave wants anymore, what does God want me to do? Heard great prayers on Karen's show today at 11 o'clock on Fridays. Hidden treasures, is that right? Hidden gems? Hidden treasures. I'll get it right. Hidden treasures. But just a great example of that is that when we pray, we want to pray what God wants us to pray for, not just what Dave wants. That's nice. But loving God is doing what he wants. And what God wants us something, we'll do it what he wants. And God says, make disciples of all nations. So guess what? We're going to do is we're going to start with ourselves. And the first place we start is, okay, let's get into God's word. Let's study God's word ourselves. Let's learn it. And then as we go on, God wants us to pray. And one of the great ways about loving God, if you want a simple place to find out, if God commands something, guess what? He probably wants it, right? I mean, if God says pray, what do you suppose his will is? Probably that we, I don't know, pray, right? God wants us to do his commands. So as you're reading your Bible, you might read a verse like pray without ceasing from 1 Thessalonians. Well, evidently God wants us praying not just once a week at dinner table, but all the time. We want to be praying. That's what disciples do. And if you study the disciples in the Gospels and in the church epistles, you'll see that's what they did. Prayer was a big part of their lives, big part of what they did day to day. Another great example is just speaking about God. Speaking his word is another very big one. We'll talk more about that as we get into discipling more. But it's important that we start thinking is, what does God want in our lives? What does he want me to do? What does he want me to say? And then how do I live that way? Like that beautiful song at the beginning of the teaching today, you know, he did it for us. You know, we love him because he was there for us first, right? He did it for us. And God was so gracious that way. And one of the great reasons we read God's word is because it shows God's amazing heart for us. God really is a God of love. Unfortunately, there are people who say things about God, their opinion about God, that simply isn't true. Our God is wonderful. Our God is a wonderful Father, and he loves his people. He loves his children. And what he wants to do is bless. That's what he wants to do. So he's not going to, you know, people say, oh, well, God did that. No, he didn't. God didn't do that. God caused the storms in Texas. No, he didn't do that. See, God wants people healed. He wants people blessed. That's what he wants. God wants people loved. And the more we read God's word, the more we see his heart, the more we can adjust our lives accordingly to do what he wants us to do. And that's just another great reason. We're going to look at one more verse about the Bible. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1. Another great one here. Couldn't resist. I had to get it out there. 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about the Bible and God's word. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Where? Through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. Yeah, God's word is all things that pertain to life and godliness. And then verse 4 says, by which, by this word of God, have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, we want to get to the point where the Bible becomes ours. It's great to hear teachings. I love hearing teachings. I love hearing pastors preach. It's always wonderful. But in addition to that, we want to have our time in the Word. We want to have our time learning God's Word ourselves, and God can help you with that. I was in a gym in Rhode Island years ago, and I came in to work out, and there was a friend of ours there who was also a Christian, and I hear her talking to the young man behind the counter. And it's interesting. I can see she cares about this kid, and this kid's interested. But the kid would ask questions, and the woman's response was, you need to come to my church. You need to come to my church on Sunday. Well, this church was 30 miles away. It wasn't exactly next door. But I thought, that's the problem. We don't want to just, if someone needs us, someone needs to have a question, needs an answer, we want to be able to share God's word with them and give them those answers that they need. See? And then in order to do that, we need to have a knowledge of God's word in our hearts and minds. And there's no other way but reading. It's the only way we can do it. It's the only way to make it happen that way. So my exhortation is to you, if you want to get a Bible, a New King James, that's what we'll be using in this class. Or if you have a Bible you like, I like the New International Version. It's very nice. I've heard the New English Version is very good as well. If you have a Bible you like and you want it open when we do it, we are going to do a lot of verses in this show as the time goes ahead. And our goal, again, is not to, you know, preach as much as is to say, hey, look, this is what the Bible says. It's helping us be the best disciples we can be so that we can be what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus wants all men, all nations to be disciples. Well, that starts with Dave. Let's start here. You know, when I get perfect, then I'll come worry about you, okay? But in the meantime, we want to work on this so that we have what we need and we can do what we want to do to bless the Lord Jesus. Okay. And that's one of the great exciting things we have to look forward to. And as these weeks come ahead in the class, we'll know more and more. And we're going to get into how we love God. We're also going to get into how to love your neighbor. You know, I didn't just write the book. It's a good book. But loving your neighbor is also very important. But again, we need to understand what the Bible says about it. You know, Jesus was a great example of how to love, but he was also a great example of what love really means. It's not always what people think it means. Right? Sometimes love is different than that. Sometimes love is really speaking up to somebody when they need the truth spoken to them. And like I